Welcome to the Peter Werby Show. Call and talk to Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. Call 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thanks a lot. Why am I the host, Jalene Jordan, being laughed at?
You were jamming.
I was jamming with this music from CeeLo.
Salsa style.
Yeah. Is that salsa? No.
Oh, I don't know.
That's New Mexican music. That's okay. The band from Santa Fe, CeeLo.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Sorry. And we got William Rivers Pitt on at 33 minutes after the hour.
Yeah.
A pit bull for now. I wonder.
You call him that.
Yeah. I wonder if I'll say that there'll be this silence on the other end of the line.
No, I think he'll like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's what I always say. I mean, like this Enron scandal, people. Enron. Oh, yeah. I remember that old scandal. It's because the Democrats never leapt on it like pit bulls in the manner that the Republicans just dogged the Clintons for 8 years.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different.
She
it's from
Thank
IE
you.
America
Very
and Wins.
Is it really, Nancy? Mm-hmm.
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by with good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Officials in Seattle today will have to respond to a pretend dirty bomb attack, while their counterparts in Chicago will deal with a simulated bioterror attack. It's all part of the largest Homeland Security drill ever launched in the United States. It's meant to test the preparedness of local, state, and federal officials, as well as the Red Cross in the event of a major terrorist attack on America. Canadian officials are also taking part in the exercise later this week. The drill, called Top Off 2, will run through Friday in the U.S. Veteran diplomat Paul Bremer is now in Baghdad. He'll take over as Iraq's new civilian administrator. His arrival marks a bit of a shakeup in the Bush administration just 3 weeks into the reconstruction of post-war Iraq. Bremer is taking over.
Yo, this is Ed Lover.
This is Dr. Dre.
That's right, we in the mix for Twix, baby. Here's the mix.
Ed, I'm going to tell you right now, all from state to state, it's all about the mix.
You understand, that's how it's going down. Ed Lover is Dr. Dre style. Through the streets is doing my thing. I need the Twix to keep me in the mix and the swing. When I want to stay real good in the mix,
come on, y'all.
As many as 40 people are reported dead and at least another 100 injured following a truck bombing at a government building in Chechnya earlier. That blast rocked a small town just north of the regional capital of Grozny. Authorities now believe two suicide bombers were responsible for driving the explosives-laden truck into the building. Russian President Vladimir Putin, though, is vowing the attack will not derail the Kremlin's peace plan for Chechnya. And actor Jeffrey Jones was in court in Los Angeles earlier today, tried to negotiate a plea bargain on a charge of possession of child pornography. That story from reporter Steve Gonzalez.
Authorities say the 56-year-old star of Ferris Bueller's Day Off is charged with hiring a 14-year-old boy to pose for sexually explicit photos. After his plea bargain was continued, the actor told us,
"Well, this is the end of a long and painful episode that my lawyers tell me will be resolved shortly."
A plea bargain is expected on June 12th in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Gonzalez.
Jones was looking at up to 3 years behind bars if he had been convicted on all charges. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with another Car Clinic Minute. Oxymorons. You know, the things that just don't seem to go together, like jumbo shrimp or deafening silence. How about new car and service manager? You'll be surprised. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it. Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com. If thinking of the service manager while inking your new car deal seems like an oxymoron, think again. Though today's cars are certainly more roadworthy than their predecessors, they can still break. In fact, the experts at the L.A. Auto Show report that automotive repair is a $200 billion business, and one of every three cars serviced returns for additional work. So ask your new car salesperson for an introduction to the service manager. It's a small investment with a big payoff at repair time and for maintenance checks. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the Peter Werby Show with special guest host Curtis Ellis. Give Curtis a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Curtis.
And here I am, ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from the Fairmont Hotel high atop Nob Hill in San Francisco. The phone number here again is 800-825-5937, and do I have a great show for you today. It's so great to be here in San Francisco and to be here at the Fairmont Hotel. My God, this is where Tony Bennett first sang, "I Left My Heart in San Francisco," just steps from where we're sitting at the Laurel Court Bar. Right there in the Venetian Room, Tony Bennett sang that song. Right across the hall from where I'm sitting, the delegates met to form the United Nations. And then upstairs, they finalized the plans for the United Nations. So I don't know if I'm being a human shield here today. This may be on somebody's target list. This is where the United Nations was founded. But we have a great show for you today. Today, I am joined here at the Fairmont Hotel by Charles Reich, one of San Francisco's illustrious citizens, the author of The Greening of America, a former Yale Law School professor. Mr. Reich wrote The Greening of America in 1970, which laid out the idea of a change in values of America. Remember, 1970, America was a very different place than the America we live today. There was a broad movement for social justice, a broad movement against militarization, for the expansion of the rights of the citizens of this country. And there seemed to be change in the air. Let's just put it that way. This is a very different place we live in, and that's what Mr. Reich and I are going to be talking about. And you are welcome to join the conversation by calling 800-825-5937. Charles, thank you very much for coming over to join me.
Glad to be here.
Look, The Greening of America sold 2.5 million copies just in this country alone. It was translated into 13 different languages. It sold, I guess it's safe to say, millions of copies overseas. So that's why I ask you today, what happened to this country? How did we get from where we were in 1970 to what I unabashedly call a fascist oligarchy today? How did we get here?
Well, I've tried to explain this to myself, and I've done so by a series of steps, which I'll try and explain as clearly as I can to anyone else. And the first step is the most important, and it's taken many years for this to happen, but the first step is the weakening of democracy. And we've seen the weakening of democracy over the last 30 years, maybe the last 50 years. It's been a growth of corporate power, a loss of democratic power, and it's played out in every area of society. And as democracy has weakened, step two takes over, and that is the supremacy of economic power. So economic power replaces the power of the people. And more economic power becomes concentrated in a few winners and many losers, so that we end up with a few people running the society instead of a democracy. We've lost the democracy, and in its place we have a concentration of wealth and power unheard of in history, which is running things now. Mm-hmm. Now, the third step is that as economic power rises without limit, there are more and more kinds of harm that flow from this unlimited economic power. One is the destruction of the environment. One is the not caring about the poor. One is the destruction of community. One is the fact that so many people live in insecurity, no health care, no health insurance, and stuff like that. So economic power begins to cause a whole lot of damage. And instead of treating that damage as costs of the products that we make, we blame somebody, some remote person, for, that is, we say, it's crime, it's drugs, it's terror, it's all kinds of other things.
Immigrants.
Immigrants. And we say we have no money for schools, we have no money for hospitals, unemployment rises. So all of those evils are the result of unlimited economic power. Now, the final step, the fourth step, is simply that economic power leads to the ability to control people's thinking, to control people's minds, to control people's ability to understand the world they live in. And so, once they have that power, they can have you blame the victim. And by blaming the victim, they polarize the country and they divide and rule. And
well, speaking with Charles Reich, the author of The Greening of America, who now is telling us what happened to America from 1970 to 2004. If you want to get in the conversation, the phone number is 800-825-5937. Shall we take a phone call? Okay, Joe from, is that Brooklyn or Brookings? Oh, well, Joe didn't want to talk to us. Okay. Well, let's continue on here. I'm sorry, Charles, don't be shocked when you hear a little voice in your headphones with a name. That just means there's somebody waiting on hold.
All right. Well, anyway, to wrap up this very simple outline, the harm that the economic system causes is then utilized to create a perpetual sense of fear.
Mm-hmm. Sounds familiar.
And the fear is the source of political power by which George Bush rules. So that here's a headline in yesterday's New York Times. Karl Rove's campaign strategy seems evident. It's the terror, stupid.
Right, and it's no longer the war in Iraq. It's the battle of Iraq. The war goes on and on and on.
So there's a perfect scheme. First you cause the harm, then you blame it on somebody else, and then you divide people and frighten people so that they vote for a high-handed kind of autocracy.
So, I'm speaking with Charles Reich. We're talking about how we got to where we are today. I met Charles in San Francisco, I guess about 30 years ago, and this was a very different place. No one, well, maybe a few people might have guessed or imagined that America could become what it is now. So when I called Charles, when I came into San Francisco this week, I called my old friend Charles, I said, can we talk about how we got to where we are today? Why is America in the place it is in? If you want to call, the number is 800-825-5937. When you talk about the concentration of power, I think it's very interesting that today is the day that the Federal Communications Commission is supposed to release its draft proposal, which will allow even greater concentration in the ownership of media outlets.
Well, you know, this is almost completely forgotten today, but means of communication, particularly the airways, the ways that we communicate through television and radio, they belong to the public.
That's right.
They were never supposed to be sold. They were never supposed to be owned by exclusively commercial interests. The original idea was that many, many groups in society would have equal access, and there would be a real democracy on the airways. So by shutting down the democracy of the airways and promoting a monopoly, we've lost the chance to talk to each other.
Yeah, we certainly have. There are fewer and fewer voices and fewer opportunities for people to speak and even play the music that and hear the music that we want to hear. Pablo in Santa Fe, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello. Hi there. How are you today?
Really good. Great show. Talking about the media and particularly radio stations, one thing that I remember 30 years ago, the Kent State shootings by the National Guard happened, and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, the rock group, released the song Ohio, which within a month or 6 weeks was being played radio stations all over the place, and those were, you know, decisions made by local disc jockeys. If that were to happen now, a song like that would not be played.
That's exactly right.
And,
that's exactly right.
So things have changed, and it's very, I almost feel like for democracy to be reclaimed, it's going to require literally a lot of one-on-one networking, you know, small groups of people, because the major media will not support anything like that at all. So I think it's going to be a long, long haul, but that's all we have to work with.
Thanks. Can I ask you a question? Do you think there's any way that the Internet can serve as a substitute for the media for communication among citizens like yourself?
It is at this time. And right now that's the best hope we have, but the technology is there, I think, for the major media to perhaps control and shut down that freedom to some degree, too. So I'm worried about that. I'd be interested to know your comments on that.
Well, I'm looking for an alternative way for people to find each other, to communicate with each other, to learn, because the media have shut us all out. And I don't have the answer to that alternative way. What I want every person to do is to think about alternative ways. Try inventing them. Try creating them. And somebody will find the right formula.
It's true. It's true that in 1970, there were three networks, but there were hundreds of radio stations with hundreds of different owners, and we didn't have the Internet, we didn't have email, we didn't have faxes, but somehow people managed to hear about each other and hear what each other were up to, and there were dozens of people publishing underground newspapers. The Internet, I personally believe, is a way for people to get together, but you have to have a computer and a telephone to be connected, which I guess is most people in this country. Now, we're coming up on a break here. We're going to be back. I'm speaking with Charles Reich, the author of The Greening of America. I'm broadcasting from the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco. We'd like to hear your comments. The number is 800-825-5937. Whatever you want to talk about, we're talking about how do we get here today and where can we go from here?
Dad, this race car game is awesome. Want to drive?
Oh, I love that game, but not with a bad headache.
You want to go home?
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
Can we stay a little longer?
Let's try virtual reality skiing.
Yeah!
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
How is the GM 24-hour test drive different from the average test drive? It's about, 23 hours and 45 minutes longer. Long enough to take a GM car or truck to work, to keep it overnight. See how it fits in your garage. See how it fits in your life. For more information and to locate a participating dealer, click to gm.com/24-hour. You must be 21 and be an insured licensed driver with approved credit.
I'm asleep on it. I'll give you an answer in the morning.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's B-U-Y-C-O-I-N. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Peter Werby reminding you that my show is now being broadcast from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. It's the same show filled with engaged, intelligent talk featuring not just you, the listener, but also a wide range of interesting guests. So if you want to leave right-wing hate radio in the 20th century where it belongs, join me, Peter Werby, weekdays 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for something entirely different.
I want peace. You want peace.
Are you worried that the road less traveled is a dead end? I feel your pain. It's not easy to be positive and happy and peaceful in a world that's so often negative and filled with war and hatred and SARS, but we can do it together. Join me, Nancy Skinner, for a radio evolution. It's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Populi, that's Voice of the People. It's a program where people talk about the world around us and the one we want to create.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
We're back.
It's the Peter Werby Show with special guest host Curtis Ellis. Give Curtis a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Curtis.
Hey, gang, coming to you live from high atop Knob Hill at the Fairmont Hotel. If you're ever in San Francisco, do stop by the Fairmont. If you're not going to stay here, at least come in and have a drink in the bar. It's pretty fabulous here. Looks like Joan Collins should be hanging out here or something. I don't have Joan Collins with me. I do have Charles Reich. Charles wrote The Greening of America in 1970, a very, very important book. It sold 2.5 million copies at the time, talking about social change, social justice in America. Charles was a professor of law at Yale. One of his students was Hillary Clinton. Another one might have been Bill Clinton if he ever came to class. He'll tell us about that later. But right now, Dean from Santa Fe, you're on the line. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Curtis and Professor, it's an honor to be listening to you. I remember that book, and to me it captured the zeitgeist of a time. I was in my early 20s and remember reading it and was hitchhiking. You know, I dropped out of school and just went to see the world. But with regard to now... I too believe that the internet, if you aren't looking at the internet for information, you're going to be out of the loop these days in terms of what can really happen and in terms of the kinds of alternative kind of information or worldview. And actually, you can create your own worldview going to the internet. But I believe that technology, both low technology, whether it's cassette tapes or high like the satellite radio, if people can think in terms of being creative with the means of technology and keeping the human component in there, the human message. I think that there is, they can't clamp down on everything at every time. I mean, I don't believe. I think the human spirit will always win out ultimately. And I think, for instance, satellite radio could be a fantastic thing if people looked into how to package a show and get it online and so forth and get their message across and sell it and that sort of thing. So.
Well, I like your optimism very much, and it gives me some hope to hear you say that. I do think, however, it's you shouldn't underestimate what a struggle it's going to be, because all the levers of power are held in one place, and there's 50% of the people in this country don't vote, don't feel any connection to the democratic process. We have a lot of damage to overcome. And it's going to be a real struggle. I don't think it's going to be a revolutionary struggle. I think it's going to be an evolutionary struggle. That is, not a violent struggle, but a struggle of ideas and a struggle of culture. But the most important thing is to realize that we have a destructive economy now. We have an economy that destroys community, that destroys people, that destroys the environment. In other words, our economy is a form of war. It's not surprising. You know, all through my lifetime, this country's been at war. We got into war when I was 13 years old at Pearl Harbor, and we've been at war ever since. And I don't think it's surprising, because I think our economy is a kind of economy that makes war in order to make profits.
Can we
go ahead, Dean.
Can we is there any salvation to think in terms of your own business or small business? Or, I mean, any thoughts on that? I mean, how do you turn this economy? I mean, certainly ideas, but on a practical level or a personal level?
If you want to look ahead and say what kind of a society would not be a war, what kind of economy would not be a war, you'd say an economy where people are treated with economic justice, so that fairness prevails, so that workers are paid enough money to live on, so that executives don't collect enormous amounts of money that they don't deserve. So we could have a modified economy that would be much fairer to all.
And I'm speaking with Charles Reich, the author of The Greening of America. My name is Curtis Ellis. Give us a call, 800-825-5937. When we come back, we'll hear what Mr. Reich thinks about Bush versus Gore.
Every day at Domino's, you get something free. A cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee. Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. Workers who were injured on the job at Ground Zero in the weeks following September 11, 2001, began a week-long hunger strike outside the offices of New York Governor George Pataki yesterday. The hunger strikers say the governor's done little to help workers and residents of Lower Manhattan who were affected by toxic air following the collapse of the towers. They're demanding an investigation into the long-term effects of World Trade Center air pollution, as well as treatment for those affected. The hunger strikers are joined by low-income New Yorkers who are demanding an overhaul of the state's Workers' Compensation Board. Workers' comp cases in New York sometimes take 8 years or longer to resolve, and the protesters are demanding a maximum review time of 3 months.
The Federal Mine Safety Health Administration is resurrecting a proposal that would increase the level of airborne dust allowed in coal mines. The United Mine Workers Union is leading opposition to the rulemaking, worried that the increase will result in a new rash of cases of black lung disease. The U.S. Department of Labor is also skeptical of the idea. Officials there have already spoken critically about the proposal and say they will not permit breathable coal dust levels to be increased. The original rulemaking effort was scuttled 3 years ago for the same concerns.
Workers at a suburban Boston movie theater are holding the line as their Wildcat strike enters its seventh day. Projectionists at the Somerville Theater walked off the job May 1st, forming a picket line outside the Boston Independent Film Fest. Police were dispatched to the scene and a melee ensued, and while no one was arrested, a number of strike leaders were injured. Despite this, the projectionists say they'll continue to strike for the recognition of their union, the International Association of Theatrical Stage Employees, with whom they hope to win health insurance, improvements to minimum wage pay, and protection against breathing hazardous polyester dust.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
We're back. It's the Peter Werby Show with special guest host Curtis Ellis. Give Curtis a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Curtis.
Hey, gang, here I am at the Fairmont Hotel, broadcasting to you, with you, from high atop Knob Hill in San Francisco. It is my honor, my pleasure, and my privilege to be joined by Charles Reich, the author of The Greening of America, which sold gazillions of copies back when it came out in 1970, talking about a new value system in America. And Charles was not talking about the fascist takeover of America, which we have. We certainly have a new value system in America now, don't we, Charles? Well, you'll answer that in a moment. Let me just remind everybody, Peter will be broadcasting. Peter Werby will be back tomorrow broadcasting from Santa Fe. So he's in Santa Fe. I'm in San Francisco. And if you want to join the conversation, the number is 800-825-5937. Charles Reich, we've been talking about how we got to where we are today, where the society, how the society has gotten to where it is, where we have the extreme concentration of power, extreme concentration of wealth. It would be remiss on my part if I overlooked something which led to the current regime in America, which is the Supreme Court decision of Bush versus Gore. Now, you, as a former professor of law at Yale University, I would like your comments, your feelings on that Supreme Court decision which installed George Bush as president.
Well, since that decision, there have probably been more legal articles written about that single case than any case in American history. And all kinds of legal scholars have weighed in. And the overwhelming consensus is that the decision was entirely unprincipled, entirely lawless, had no basis in any precedent of the Supreme Court, and indeed violated the very principles that the conservative majority has espoused over many years. So I would have to say that it was such a serious abuse of power by the Supreme Court that, if you want my personal opinion, five of the justices should be impeached. They should be removed from the Supreme Court for abusing their authority, because it is under our Constitution, it is not the function of the court to decide elections. It is the function of Congress. And this should have been left first to the state of Florida and then ultimately to the Congress. But for the Supreme Court to use its power in the way that it did was lawless, and it was lawlessness by our highest court. That shocks me.
My God. Why don't you tell me what you really think, Charles? Back in the 60s, I always remember the bumper stickers, "Impeach Earl Warren." The right-wingers, the John Birch Society, they were not afraid to say what they wanted. And they wanted Earl Warren, then the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, impeached. Finally, somebody has said, impeach Judge Rehnquist.
Absolutely. And his four colleagues who voted along with him.
You know, speaking of the John Birch Society, back when you wrote The Greening of America, the John Birch Society was considered a fringe group of wackos on the extreme right wing. If you examined what the John Birch Society were and you placed it alongside what the Bush administration is doing, there would be very little room to slide a piece of paper. I mean, we are being ruled now by the extreme right wing John Birch Society wackos who we used to make fun of.
One of the great differences between the right-wing and liberals is liberals are willing to listen to many different sides. And that's turned out to be a weakness, because the right-wing won't listen to anybody but their side. One example of this is that the right-wing has received 124 judicial confirmations by the Senate of all of its judges, but they're not satisfied. They want two more, and they're greedy. Liberals are a different species than this right wing.
A different species. Yes, we're being ruled by Neanderthals, and we are Homo sapiens. Now, I was speaking with John Lewis, Congressman John Lewis, one of the veterans of the civil rights movement of the 1960s. He was a member of SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. He marched from Selma to Montgomery. He was, it was a Montgomery to Selma. Which way did they work? Anyway, he was beaten on the Edmund Pettus Bridge. He fought for the Voting Rights Act, the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And he said to me, after those great victories, the movement leaders and the people who participated in the movement didn't share those stories with their children. They wanted to spare their kids the pain and the struggle, because those were some great victories, and they thought, well, we won something for our kids. We will spare them from the pain that we went through. But as a result of that, John Lewis told me, we lost a generation. People didn't know the struggle that is necessary in order to have social justice in this country. I say that as a preface to ask you, again, how did we get to where we are? Did the people who fought for the environmental movement, the women's movement, the gay movement, the civil rights movement, did we just get complacent? Did we kick back, say, hey, we won, now let's have a party, and that's what we did in the 70s?
Well, there were a number of very important victories. And there were victories in the area of civil rights. There were victories in the area of gay rights. There were victories in terms of women's equality. And there were victories in terms of the environment. But this didn't stop the process of destruction. It was a series of individual victories versus an ongoing process, which simply rolled along. And the people who made those changes in the 60s, they simply didn't realize that you have to stop the process itself and not just win individual victories. It's not good enough to win a victory here or win a candidate there. You've got to stop the destruction of the world by this economic system.
Well, that's very interesting. When you talk about, I'm talking with Charles Rice, the author of The Greening of America, a former Yale law professor, someone who's been thinking long and hard about the values in our country, the process of social justice, what it will take to have a just society and a just world. If you want to get in the conversation, have a question or a comment, please call 800-825-5937. My name, by the way, is Curtis Ellis. I'm here for Peter Werby today. Peter's on his way to Santa Fe. He'll be back tomorrow. Don't worry. So what do the 60s look like to you now? Looking back on the 60s, what does it look like?
Well, I think that the 60s were correct in the sense that they saw we needed a fundamental change in our values. They tried in the best way that they knew to bring about that change. They didn't have any idea how powerful were the forces against them. They vastly underestimated what they were up against. And so they quit too soon.
They quit too soon. Well, that's very good. They didn't understand the powers they were up against. That reminds me, I was talking with Owsley Stanley, the great acid chemist who made all of the LSD, which fueled the hate and everything else. And he was not a hippie. And he said all the kids used to, the hippies used to go play for the cameras and grandstand for the media. And he told them, he felt, you can't do this. You don't want to do that, because Owsley grew up in Washington, D.C., and he knew the power of the government. And you don't want to attract their attention. There's a very powerful system out there. But you talk about the environment. Well, I'm speaking with Charles Rice. We're gonna take a call here. It's Dave from Silverdale, Washington. You're on the air.
Hi, Curtis. Good job filling in today. And Dr.
Thanks.
Rice, I appreciate your very thoughtful and considered comments. And I have a question about, you had referred to this as... I guess the political process now is kind of an evolutionary process, not necessarily revolutionary. And along those lines, I suspect you're talking about kind of a not survival of the fittest, but survival of the most adaptive. And what could you talk a little more about the evolution and what the liberals do to be more adaptive, to be successful in this new political environment?
Well, the long-range goal is we have only a finite number of material resources. We have an infinite amount of human riches. All of the people in this country can thrive through being more creative, through being more individual, through being more unique. So we need to shift our economy from nothing but materialism to an economy of human growth. Instead of material growth, human growth. So everything that contributes to that is going to contribute to long-range change. There's no limit to human growth. There is a absolute limit to the material resources, and if we share them and limit our exploitation of them, there'll be enough to go around.
Huh, that's very interesting. It fits in with the idea of a nation's greatest wealth is its people. And if we encourage and develop the human resources of a nation, we then can all thrive and our wealth grows. Rachel in Santa Fe, go ahead. You're on the air. Rachel, are you there?
Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes, hello, Curtis. Your distinguished guest was pretty exciting to me back in the early days of the revolution. I agree with him. I don't know what happened. But one thing I'd like to comment on is what he said about the FCC and the fact that originally it was very much, people were very concerned that the airwaves be within the public domain. And so then what the FCC had done was they instituted a service called the Amateur Radio Service, which gave certain portions of the spectrum to the public. And once that was in place, they were able to go ahead and begin to basically auction off the rest of the spectrum to commercial interests. And that's basically been gaining ground ever since. So I see that act as the beginning of this whole trend.
Well, I agree with that, and I think that people have long since forgotten that they have a right to the airways. They've long since forgotten that it's a part of the public domain, the same as a national park. And if you would think of the airways the same as you think of a national park, you'd think we all have a right to use this resource, not just Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, really. The Radio Act of 1932, I believe, that set out the structure of broadcasting in this country specifically says the airwaves are common property of the citizens of this country. The licenses that are issued to broadcasters, I was going to say are, but theoretically are, but realistically were, conditional based on the broadcasters serving the public interest. But that has been completely lost. And we say this, I say it again, today the FCC is supposed to release its draft proposals, which will lift the ownership caps on the media so that one company can theoretically own a newspaper, two television stations, and all the radio stations in one city. The effects on democracy of this are devastating. And even the fellow commissioners on the FCC, the two Democratic commissioners on the FCC, have not seen these proposals. They say it's being kept as a state secret by the Republican majority on the FCC. They will not share their thinking and their legal reasoning. As a law professor, is it common for people drafting legal opinions to not share their work with the others who are supposed to be drafting these orders?
Well, what you have is it's a bizarre situation. It's comparable to Bush against Gore in the Supreme Court. The FCC has, by law, a bipartisan membership consisting of Democrats and Republicans. That's required by law. For the Republicans to exclude the Democrats from their deliberations is a plain violation of law. The trouble is, law doesn't govern in this country anymore. Power governs. And all that is happening in the FCC is that power is governing.
I'm speaking with Charles Reich, the author of The Greening of America, a seminal tome, which was written in 1970. 2.5 million copies were sold then, translated into 13 languages. The phone number here is 800-825-5937. My name's Curtis Ellis. I'd be happy to take your call if you want to join the conversation. Charles, you said you wrote another book since then, and it didn't get quite the circulation of the first one, did it?
Well, I wrote a book called Opposing the System, and it really tried to show how democracy has been lost to economic power. And was the same publisher as The Greening of America, but a very different outcome, because once they realized what I was saying, they never took out a single ad, they never arranged for me to have any promotional activity. The book simply sank like a stone. And I must say that these two experiences, writing a book that sold millions of copies and writing a book that sold virtually no copies, they show you how the country has changed. I think that my views of 30 years ago would never be listened to today. And I think that that's a loss.
Now, we were speaking before, this is Charles Reich I'm speaking with, in case you're just joining us, speaking before of how we got from there to here, how the country has changed from the promise and the broad-based social justice movements of 1972, what is essentially a corporate takeover in 2003. You talked about the weakening of democracy, the rise to supremacy of economic power, the harm that that causes in health and education and the environment, and then how the harm is used to scapegoat those marginalized parts of society. We'll be talking in our final segment about this, and particularly the supremacy of economic power. My name is Curtis Ellis, here with Charles Reich on the America Radio Network, IE America Radio. Our phone number is 800-825-5937. Get in now.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
It's all Twix.
Yo, this is Ed Lover.
This is Dr. Dre.
That's right, we in the mix for Twix, baby. Here's the mix.
Ed, I'm going to tell you right now, all from state to state, it's all about the mix.
You understand? That's how it's going down. Ed Love and Dr. Dre style. Rolling through the streets, just doing my thing. I need the Twix to keep me in the mix, in the swing. When I want to stay real good in the mix.
Come on, y'all.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halvesies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal Narwhal. Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Boy, get up, stand up, stand up for your right.
We're back. It's the Peter Werby Show with special guest host Curtis Ellis. Give Curtis a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Curtis.
Hey, gang. I'm here at the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco with Charles Reich, my esteemed guest, the author of Greening America. 1-800-825-5937. We just got a few minutes here, so we're going to get quickly right to the calls. We got a couple people on hold. Jeff from Denver, go ahead.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with what Curtis said, that we need an evolution, not more than a revolution. Although I write the word revolution with a capital E in my writings and a small r. And in this evolution where we're being creative rather than destructive, what would you propose that we, as citizens, do right now? We can get active, but we need to give people tangible things that they can do. What in the system needs to be changed?
Now, I'm going to throw that to you, Charles. Yeah.
Well, first of all, our philosophy has to change. Right now, we have a philosophy of economic supremacy. Everything runs by the market. What that means in practice is that the most powerful organizations in society run the society. So let's get away from economic supremacy and let's get back to the rule of law and the rule of the people. That is the philosophic change that has to take place. Now, how do citizens bring that about? In 1,000 ways, in 10,000 ways. You'll have to invent the ways to do it because they don't exist. The only thing I can tell you is the political system is broken. It isn't functioning. And so you're going to have to invent new ways to communicate and to find like-minded people. And I just think if enough people are thinking about that, somebody will come up with a flash of genius.
Okay, let's go right to Joe in New Jersey. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. First of all, I totally agree with Mr. Reich's assessment of, I guess, what you would call the root cause of a lot of problems today, which is the economic system and the concentration of economic power. But I was wondering whether the people that wanted to change that couldn't use economic means such as boycotts to begin to strike some blows against the empire, as it were. Because that's something that I've seen lots of the anti-war protest movement, where people get out in the streets and hold signs, but very little in terms of organizing some well-placed boycotts.
Okay, we're just about out of time. Do you have a quick answer, Charles?
Well, I'm for every possible method. I'm all for boycotts, I'm all for marches, and I'm all for things that I've never thought of and you have never thought of. So let's try them all.
All right, thank you so much. Charles Reich, author of Greening America, thank you so much for joining me here at the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco. My name is Curtis Ellis. We got more coming up. So if you want to get in the conversation, 800-825-5937. We'll be back with more, so don't go away.
You've
been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to the lifestyles of the wet and stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying greens.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Tom Roberts. Veteran diplomat Paul Bremer has arrived in Baghdad to take over as Iraq's new civilian administrator. His arrival marks a Bush administration shakeup only 3 weeks into the post-war reconstruction of Iraq. Bremer will take over for retired General Jay Garner. Bremer praised Garner as very effective and predicted a smooth transition. He said he's delighted to be in Baghdad.
Help the Iraqi society rebuild on the basis of individual liberties, respect for the rule of law, and respect for each other. That's our job now. We're not here to be a colonial power.
The change is viewed by many as a sign of dissatisfaction with the progress in restoring basic services and forming a transitional Iraqi government. Responding to those who suggest things are bogged down in post-war Iraq, President Bush says, "We haven't been there very long." Speaking in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the president said the U.S. will stay in Iraq as long as necessary to ensure a smooth transition to democracy.
We liberated the people of Iraq from a brutal dictator. We made America more secure by making sure he does not use weapons of mass destruction.
In custody, two former members of Saddam Hussein's regime. They are number 11 on the Pentagon's 55 most wanted Iraqi list. The Jack of Spades, or Ibrahim Ahmad Abd al-Satur al-Muhammad al-Tikriti, the former Iraqi Armed Services Chief of Staff, and the Iraqi microbiologist known as Dr. Germ, Rehab Taha. As a national mock terror drill gets underway today, Langley Air Force Base in Hampton, Virginia, staging mock chemical attacks on base this week. Spokesman Sergeant Mark Getzey says about 1,900 members of the 1st Fighter Wing are participating.
Play in war game scenarios, practice using their MOP gear, which is their chemical suits. They're simulated ground burst, smoke. We just really want to see how our people learn and how they adapt to a wartime scenario.
Getzey says better chemical detection systems are in place since 9/11, and so only part of the base would be affected by an attack. More in a moment.
Hey, watch it.
Down in front.
Hey, we made it.
Yeah.
4 hours back-to-back Godzilla movies.
Wait.
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What?
No. Excuse me, my friend here wants to know if the girl on the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet this loner. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over.
Excuse me, miss? There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What?
Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation. During a speech this morning, President Bush continued to push for a $550 billion tax cut package. The House has backed such a tax cut over the next 10 years, but the Senate is looking at the plan this week and is expected to approve cuts in the $350 billion range. A Texas mother is being held on $3 million bail in the beating deaths of her two sons. According to the Dallas Morning News, authorities believe Deanna D. Laney woke her 6- and 8-year-old sons Friday night, took them outside to the backyard, and allegedly killed them by hitting them in the head with rocks. More after this.
free, 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 free.
Every day at Domino's you get something free. A cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee. Delivered hot, fresh and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer, prices and terms may vary.
The nominations for the 2003 Tony Awards are in. Two-time Tony Award winning actor John Lithgow and actress Melanie Griffith were on hand to announce the nominees at the famed Sardi's restaurant in New York. Lithgow announced the nominees in one category.
The nominations for Best Performance by a Leading Actress in a Musical are Melissa Errico for Amour, Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio for Man of La Mancha, Elizabeth Parkinson for Moving Out, Bernadette Peters for Gypsy, and Marissa Jarrett Winoker for Hairspray.
The 57th Annual Tony Awards will be presented June 8th in a live broadcast from Radio City Music Hall. Melissa and Lee Andron of North Carolina wanted to do something really different for their wedding. According to Parade Magazine, they gave each guest $15 to take to Toys R Us. In the end, $2,400 wound up going to the area's Toys for Tots campaign. I'm Tom Roberts, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. A picture's worth a thousand words, so picture this, a toilet bowl. You know what car part is similar to that household favorite? Battery? Gas tank? No, those won't float. But when I come back, I'll tell you what does.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about somesies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
What's the automotive equivalent of your toilet bowl? Your carburetor. Both have little floats that control levels of liquid. Ever lifted the top of a toilet tank and bent the rod to stop water from flowing? Carburetors have similar float valves that adjust fuel level. In toilets, the excess water streams harmlessly to the sewer. But in carburetors, surplus fuel flows into the motor, causing engine damage, decreased gas mileage, and air pollution. All good reasons to include carburetor checks in your annual inspections. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the Peter Werby Show, where we dare to connect the dots. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Well, actually, this is Curtis Ellis. Peter will be here tomorrow. He will be in Santa Fe, broadcasting live from Santa Fe, New Mexico, tomorrow. I'm Curtis Ellis. I'm broadcasting live from high atop Knob Hill at the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco. This is the place where Tony Bennett sang I Left My Heart in San Francisco in 1962. This is the place where, right after World War II, the United Nations was founded. The delegates came together here and drafted the Charter of the United Nations. And today, this is where I am broadcasting from with my esteemed guest, Valerie Jan Lois of the Transcendental Meditation Movement. Now, in the San Francisco Chronicle, yesterday, Sunday, May 11th, the screaming headline is about President George Bush's plan to refurbish the nuclear weapons production arsenal. He is planning on spending $455 million so that we can, the United States, can again begin producing nuclear weapons, designing a whole new generation of nuclear warheads, smaller ones to be used on the battlefield, earth-penetrating ones to be used to blow up underground bunkers, and faster, sharper, more easily targeted ones in order to preempt those states out there and those individual terrorists that are threatening our peace. $455 million for nuclear weapons to promote peace. That is the Bush administration's plan. Sitting next to me is someone with a different plan for peace. Valerie Jan Lois is, I guess, is it accurate to say a member of the Transcendental Meditation Movement? Someone who teaches
a teacher
of Transcendental Meditation. Maharishi Mahesh Yogi and the Transcendental Meditation Organization want to develop 200 peace palaces, as they were referred to in a newspaper article I read, 200 centers of meditation across the United States, 3,000 worldwide. What is the goal of having these group meditation centers?
Thanks for asking. Curtis, first let me back up a little bit. When Maharishi first came to the United States in the 50s, he predicted that when just 1% of any population began the practice of transcendental meditation, that the crime rate in those populations would just spontaneously reduce. And crime, of course, in this case, translates to terrorism and war as well. Any kind of behavior that disrupts the well-being of society. Then in 74 and 75, the FBI crime statistics came out and showed that in 11 cities, there were the 11 oases of crime, where the crime had been reduced dramatically amidst a huge wave of crime being off the charts in every other city around the country. So, of course, you can trust me in this, that the FBI crime lab really looked hard to see what was going on in those 11 cities. The one thing that they had in common that none of the other cities had in common was that that 1% threshold had been reached. It was about that time, and that was called, by the way, the Maharishi effect, after the man who had predicted it and brought it to being. And also, by the way, in those 11 cities, there was a very large college population at that time. A lot of college students were learning transcendental meditation. So we reached 1% in those 11 cities. The crime rates dramatically dropped. At that time, then, Maharishi brought out an advanced program called the TM Siddhis program. That's TM-SIDHIS. And it works on the basis of transcendental meditation. And with the transcendental meditation and the TM Siddhi programs practiced in a group, it only takes the square root of 1% to have that effect. So Maharishi's plan has always been to bring a permanent state of world peace. If we had had to rely on the 1% theory, and we, you know, with the population constantly growing of the world, and we have 6 billion plus people in the world, it would take 600 million people always practicing transcendental meditation.
Oh, that's a pretty tall order.
That is a pretty tall order when you consider that after 50 years, we have about 7 million people in the world now practicing.
Uh-huh.
So in order to bring the goal in more within reach, these, you know, the square root of 1% is a much more workable figure. At this point, it is about 8,000 people practicing these advanced programs. The caveat is that they have to be practicing in the same place at the same time. So in addition to these peace palaces that we're establishing, we're doing about 30 in on the West Coast from Alaska down to the Mexico border, and then 200 or so nationwide and 3,000 worldwide. We will have smaller groups to have smaller groups of about 200 of these TM Siddhas, we call them. We call them Siddhas, practicing these techniques every day, twice a day, in a group, in the peace palaces, and generating coherence in the collective consciousness of those communities. In addition to that, though, Maharishi is putting together groups of at least 8,000 on every continent, and also a group of about 40,000 yogic flyers, we call them. I'm sure you're going to want to talk about that.
We will.
in India. The reason India is because it's much less expensive to maintain a group there.
Same reason the welfare bureaus are having their calls.
for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Seff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The Home Improvement Experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffens Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumble will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Hey there, Curtis Ellis here with you on the IE America Radio Network. The number here is 800-825-5937. We're talking about how we can generate world peace, or at least a more peaceful society right here at home. George Bush wants to spend $455 million to make more nuclear warheads. Here with me at the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco is Valerie Jan Lois of the Transcendental Meditation Movement, who wants to set up meditation centers. Because if we get enough people meditating at the same place at the same time, she says that will bring down the crime rate and lower the incidence of war and hatred and all those bad things. Now, this is sort of a critical mass effect you're talking about, that the people have to be close together, meditating in the same place at the same time, which is sort of the same principle of nuclear explosions. You have to get all those uranium atoms packed together closely, and if you get enough of them close enough, then you reach the critical mass and you have a chain reaction. So you're talking about a chain reactive effect of peace and clear thinking rather than thermonuclear reactions.
It's actually more profound technology than nuclear physics. It's quantum physics. And the nuclear level, of course, is much more powerful than the molecular level, and the molecular level is more powerful than, say, this pen, unless a very brilliant person is using it. The unified field is the field from which all the force and matter fields come. So the deeper you go into nature, the more power is there. The beauty of the unified field, however, as opposed to the molecular and nuclear levels, is you cannot use it for ill. You cannot use it to promote war. In fact, in the mathematical description of the unified field, it's very clear that the unified field is it is nurturing and evolutionary at all times and in perfect balance at all times.
Okay. Now, I don't want to get too deep into the unified field theory because I'll be lost. I'm already lost, baby.
That's about as deep as I'm going to go.
Okay. Thank you very much, Valor. If you have any questions, by the way, or comments on this, please call 800-825-5937. Call right now. There are some lines open. You can get in without a crowbar, so don't worry. Look, if the government's going to spend money, $455 million on nuclear weapons to maintain the peace, and we're spending trillions of dollars on all kinds of other smart bombs or stupid bombs
maintaining war,
which is supposed to maintain peace, but we'll ask George Orwell how that works. Shouldn't the government be spending money on these peace centers, these meditation centers, if that is going to make peace?
We always thought so. And Maharishi, as I said, had been sending people to the heads of governments for years. In fact, there was an experiment. We have proven this theory. It's not just something that we thought up and we believe in and we're asking people to have faith in. There are over 50 documented studies, and many of them have been published in peer-reviewed journals around the world, including the Yale Journal for Conflict Resolution, which is probably one of the toughest publications to get into. And that particular study showed that 7 different times, groups going into the area virtually stopped the fighting in the Lebanon War.
What did you do? You send SWAT teams of meditators into a war zone? Hold it.
You could almost describe them as that, except that we're not SWATting anything. We're pretty much just sitting down on large pieces of foam so we don't hurt ourselves when we come down. And And we just meditate and practice the TM Cities program. We don't go out and proselytize, which, of course, we know that doesn't work anyway.
Oh, and in Lebanon, that would get you into big trouble.
Oh, that would get you into major trouble, not only in Lebanon. So, but in any case, Marsh would send large groups to these places, and in seven different times during the Lebanon War, we stopped that war. And it was... All the factors were controlled. It wasn't like you could say, well, that time we had more soldiers or that time we had this or that. Mm-hmm. It was definite that this was the only thing that was different. We also lowered the crime rate in Washington, D.C. in 1993. Dr. Hagelin, whom I mentioned before, had a press conference before we even arrived in Washington, D.C., and he had an independent review panel that had nothing to do with transcendental meditation, sociologists, criminologists, statisticians, and made the upshot of it was that we did lower the crime rate by 22%.
Huh. My name is Curtis Ellis. I'm here speaking with Valerie Jan Lois of the Transcendental Meditation Movement, talking about their plan to establish world peace and lower the crime rate through the use of meditation. The number here is 800-825-5937 here at the IE America Radio Network. Give us a call and get in the conversation now.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come into Napa Auto Parts, because you can get a Napa 65-month power battery for just $39.99 with exchange. This is the good stuff, manufactured to the highest industry standards. Remember, summer heat is even tougher on your battery than the cold. If your battery isn't getting the job done, get it taken care of now before you hit the road this summer. And at just $39.99, the Napa power battery is definitely the way to go.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
And now, our motivational speaker, Carl.
Who's ready to reach their inner winner?
Allergies have your sinuses congested? Afrin No Drip Nasal Spray starts to relieve congestion instantly. Sudafed takes up to 30 minutes to start working. And after 4 hours, a better job keeping nasal passages open.
Ah, now I feel like a winner.
Breathe better in an Afrin instant. Use as directed. Compared to Sudafed maximum strength 60 milligrams.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement expert,
Cao Fu Sheen, age 52, will serve 7. The sentencing took place at a half-hour hearing Friday inside the prison where the two have already spent a year behind bars. Outside, a ring of riot police prevented hundreds of the men's supporters from attending. spending. Tens of thousands took to the streets of Laoyang last March, protesting corruption in local government and at failing state-owned factories where workers had gone months without being paid. Those protests helped set off a wave of demonstrations in China's industrial provinces on a scale not seen since the Communist Revolution of 1949.
Boston police officers who don't report for picket duty could be disciplined by their union. The Boston Police Patrolmen's Association has gone since last summer without a contract and is maintaining picket lines at every public appearance of Boston Mayor Thomas Menino. In order to maintain the constant presence, the union says it'll withhold life insurance, dental coverage, and other benefits from officers who don't spend time on the line each month. While city officials have questioned the legality of the move, both the Labor Department and the Massachusetts Labor Commission have signed off on it.
As the U.S. struggles to restore basic services and a functioning government in Iraq, hundreds of workers at the country's second-largest oil refinery in Basra have begun pickets against the military management. They want a say in how the refinery will be run, and they are not happy that the new supervisors installed by U.S. commanders on the scene are from Saddam Hussein's former Ba'ath Party regime. Meanwhile, nearly a million Iraqi civil service workers got $20 payments from U.S. forces this weekend. These are supposed to make up for wages lost during the invasion. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
It's the Peter Werby Show with special guest host Curtis Ellis. Give Curtis a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Curtis.
Hey, gang. I'm here at the Fairmont Hotel high atop Knob Hill in beautiful San Francisco. The Fairmont, it's a real palatial place, and it's totally unionized. So when you come here and spend your money on a room or on a drink at the bar, you know that you're making the wages of a good union dues-paying individual. Everybody's making a good living here, so you don't have to feel guilty about living in opulence when you live at the Fairmont. The phone number is 800-825-5937. I'm here with Valerie Jan Lois talking about the Transcendental Meditation plan to build peace centers, places where people will meditate together. And they say this will generate world peace, a more peaceful society. I got a question for you. Now, you go over to the Middle East, or you don't even have to go there. Just go to where the New York City cab drivers hang out, and you find these people praying five times a day in mosques. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the people who flew those planes into the World Trade Center, they were some kind of wacky fundamentalist Muslims. They are praying five times a day. They are chanting their mantras. This is sort of a form of meditation, and they ain't thinking peacefully, baby.
That's right, because they're not really practicing transcendental meditation. It's very different. They are practicing, first of all, they're warping their religion.
There's no question about that.
Right. I have many Muslim friends who practice transcendental meditation and the TM Cities program. They're very devout Muslims, and they wouldn't hurt a fly.
But my point is that they're getting to the same kind of alpha wave level of meditation, but it's being directed in a different direction.
Well, actually, that's a mistake on your part, Curtis. Sorry, dear. But you're assuming that...
Don't condescend to me.
No, I'm just being affectionate. We're all friends now.
Yes,
you know, we've known each other for about 20 minutes. It's not the same thing. Transcendental meditation is not the same as prayer.
Okay.
It is a mental technique that actually I feel everyone should do before they start to pray. Prayer is the highest form of activity for which the human nervous system was evolved. But if the human nervous system is filled with stress and strain, the prayers are going to be completely clouded with that stress, with those misconceptions, with the mistakes.
Well, that's what's going on in these with these fundamentalist haters. When they're praying five times a day, aren't they directing all of this mental energy into something which undoes the peace that you're talking about?
No, it certainly undoes the peace that George Bush is talking about, but it doesn't undo the peace that we would be putting into place and have proven that we can put into place. The Transcendental Meditation Technique, I should back up and just explain a little bit about it.
Okay.
It has been proven to be such... It has been proven to be such an effective means of stress management that cardiologists and also stress management executives send their people to us to train them.
Right. Reduction of arteriosclerosis through the Transcendental Meditation technique. I see that in your brochure here. Joe from Cincinnati, Ohio, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hello. I just had a quick question. What is the difference between Transcendental Meditation and the meditation as practiced, for example, in Buddhism? And also, I think you're on the right track because I heard some spiritual people talking on the radio, and they were saying if each one of us looks within ourselves, we can start dealing with these problems of violence by the government against other nations. I think that you're actually on the right track with this.
Thank you, Joe. I'd like to answer your first the first part of your question first. I'm not really familiar with Buddhist meditation, but what I do know is that the meta-analyses that have been done on the TM program, the research that's been done on TM, as opposed to all other forms of meditation, show that Transcendental Meditation is at least 2.5 times as effective as any other form in reducing stress, for example, improving the IQ, maintaining a state, building and maintaining a state of perfect health, improving ideal social behavior. And the other thing that's different about it is that one thing I do know about Buddhist meditation is that it does require effort, whereas Transcendental Meditation is a completely effortless technique.
Effortless technique. Man, that should be a million seller in this country. You don't even have to work hard at it. Now, look, we've got the media in this country that is filling people's heads with images of violence. You've got the war movies, and you've got war stories on crime stories on TV and people blowing each other up. Now, this certainly, some people say, leads to more violence. So if you fill your head with peace and meditation, it just stands to reason that that should go in the other direction. Now, are we talking about the same thing, or am I mixing apples and oranges here?
Yeah, you are to a certain extent, but I understand the dilemma. Transcendental meditation actually brings about a completely unique state of physiology. So even if someone were to be practicing TM regularly, and they're watching some crime story on TV, they're not going to be as affected by it as the person who has hypertension, for example. If you have two people walking down a street and a car narrowly misses hitting them and the car hits a fire hydrant and the telephone pole bashes into the car and the person needs CPR, one person walking on the street might just have a heart attack from all the stress. The other person might give them both CPR, call 911, and walk home and forget to even mention it to the person with whom they live. You have two different levels of stress. What Transcendental Meditation does, its regular practice, brings our stress levels to such a different, to such a lower place, and this has been proven time and time again. Not only the stress levels, as determined by the reduction of the stress hormones in the blood, but also the EEG changes, the EKG changes. We have coherent brain waves.
Oh my gosh!
During Transcendental Meditation,
That sounds subversive.
Coherence is subversive. It's subtle.
It's subtle. I'm speaking with Valerie Jan Lois of the Transcendental Meditation Movement. My name is Curtis Ellis here on the IE America Radio Network. They have a plan for world peace. I'd like to know what your plan is. The phone number here is 800-825-5937, 800-825-5937. Do you think meditation will help unravel the knots that our society is tied into right now? Now, I understand, Valerie, that you went to the mayor of Walnut Hill, California, and asked him to donate land for one of these peace centers.
That's right.
What did he say to you?
She, excuse
me, Curtis.
Gwen Regalia, the mayor of Walnut Creek, was very, she gave me a full hour of her time, more than an hour, was very gracious. And, of course, there it would have been a gift of public funds if she had given the gift. And I didn't really expect her to say yes, but the inroads were made. She has heard about what we're doing, and I think that, and she's been asking some very good follow-up questions, and I'm very grateful to her.
Now, there is one of these meditation centers has opened in Bethesda, Maryland.
Two, actually. One in Bethesda and one in Lexington, Kentucky. The one in Bethesda, it has a day spa in it as well as teaching transcendental meditation.
No.
And the day spa also, they also have a technology that's available that we have here in Palo Alto, too, called Maharishi Vedic Vibration Technology that's been shown to give instant relief for different ailments.
Now, I would not be doing my job if I didn't ask you about yogic flying.
I'm so glad you asked.
Now, this is one of the things which is supposed to happen at these meditation centers. Yogic flying, what the heck is that?
I'm glad you asked. Yogic flying is part of the TM Cities program. It is, of all the different cities that we learn during the TM Cities training course, it is the most powerful and the most obvious. It can be demonstrated because you can see the body moving up and down.
Now, what do you mean by that? I don't have to practice yogic flying to see my body moving up and down, but
oh well, you'd have to do it in like this.
Okay.
Because there's no effort involved. The body just lifts up. You see, on the basis of transcending, the mind during transcendental meditation contacts the reservoir of pure creative intelligence deep within the mind. It's the source of thought, pure consciousness. Okay, I'm not talking about latent thoughts. I'm talking about consciousness from which all the thoughts arise, the consciousness that creates the basic ingredient.
Okay.
At that point, the mind becomes more of itself. It becomes conscious, purely conscious, and not conscious of something outside of it. Okay?
So that,
on that basis, we practice the TM Cities program. Whatever we put into it at that point, as long as it's life-supporting, will be responded to by the body. The body must obey. The body is the product of consciousness.
So then you fly?
We lift off, yes.
You lift
off. Now, there are three stages of yogic flying. There is the hopping phase, which is the first phase.
Right.
There is hovering, and
hovering.
Then there's flying at will.
Oh, my gosh. Now, you say if more people were doing yogic flying, there would be less crime and less war?
If more people were doing yogic flying in a group. We actually have
yogic flying in a group.
That's right. We have enough people in the United States, but they don't all practice at the same time in the same place.
So conceivably, if there were enough people yogic flying in a group, 9/11 wouldn't have happened.
That's right. In fact, Maharishi warned President Clinton not to drop bombs in the former Yugoslavia because he said, and you know, we know this from physics, we know it from religion, that every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction that comes back from
right.
it. And we know from religion that what you sow, you reap.
Well, certainly if enough people were yogic flying, September 11th wouldn't happen because they wouldn't have been on the airplanes.
That's right. Oh, you're talking, oh, very cute, very cute.
But seriously, there is, when you say hovering or flying at will, I mean, are you literally talking about, literally talking about flying?
Yes, literally. At this point, most people, most of the time, are just in that hopping phase.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, Maharishi told us that the collective consciousness had to become more purified for us to have more of an experience in that direction. But, you know, I was talking to Maxine, your producer, before the show about, because she had an interest in this.
Yeah,
that,
yeah. We all have an interest
in this. That my first experience of yogic flying was something that I didn't expect. I expected it to be something like feel like Alibaba and the magic carpets, you know, something from my childhood. It was very childish view. But it wasn't like that at all. The body was moving, and it was moving very, very quickly. But I, felt like I was more stable and more silent than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had been hooked up, as many yogic flyers do get hooked up during these research studies, they would show that my EEG brainwave coherence would become most powerful at that point. Typically, the human brain is like an incandescent light bulb. The light bulb has billions of electrons. They're stimulated by electricity to fire, but they fire at different wavelengths, different frequencies, and at different times. So we have incoherent light.
Right.
It makes a little light, a little heat. The brain is like that. We have billions and billions and billions of neurons, but they are firing at different wavelengths, different frequencies, and at different times. When you can stimulate the electrons in a light bulb to fire at the same time, same wavelength, same frequency,
then you have a laser beam.
You have a laser.
That's
exactly.
Right, coherent light.
And what starts happening, you are so smart. And then what happens during transcendental meditation, the technique, in fact, from the very first time a person learns it, the brain waves start to fire at the same time, same wavelength, and same frequency.
Okay. Now, you want to get people meditating. And you want to get people meditating in the same place, and you want to get people meditating at the same place at the same time. Now, because this, again, will sort of more coherence. You will generate more coherence by having them doing it all.
Exactly.
Or, as I said before, critical mass. You
exactly.
get people close together doing the same thing. Now, the Congress meets, and they sit down all the time, and they're debating, and they're passing war budgets and this budget. Maybe they should be practicing meditation or yogic flying when they get together.
They should be practicing that technique before they decide our fates. That's for absolutely sure. And the fates of everyone in the world. But, you know, they don't really need to, because it's like when the crime rates fall, it's not because criminals have learned transcendental meditation. It's because there has been the critical mass reached, like you've said,
mm-hmm.
and so they don't have these inappropriate thoughts, and they don't, and then they don't act upon them.
So, have you approached Bill Gates or anybody like this? You know, the rich elitists who have $1 billion to spare in their pocket. To have you approached them with your plans?
I certainly hope, Mr. Gates, that you are listening. Because now I'm approaching you now. You're on notice that you are being approached. So anyone who knows Mr. Gates, please give him a tape of this show. And you can look up more information on permanentpeace.org. Permanentpeace.org.
Aside, you said you approached the mayor of Walnut Creek and asked her if they could donate some city land or funds to make a peace center. And that she said, well, I can't do that because that would be a gift of public funds, and there are laws against that, and I'd have a recall campaign, and maybe I'd end up in Folsom Prison or San Quentin or something.
She didn't get so graphic, Curtis.
Right.
She's not as dramatic as you
right.
are.
Right. Well, see, I'm an entertainer, so she's just a politician, but unlike Will.
They're entertainers, too, pal.
That's right. The former mayor of San Francisco is a real entertainer. What are you doing? How do you hope to make this plan a reality? You've got the peace centers in Bethesda. You said there's a Vedic city now in Iowa. What is being done to make this plan a reality?
Okay. Maharishi, as I said, has begun an endowment fund. He personally has asked the wealthy people within the TM organization to give to this. We have over $100 million in the endowment fund, so there are groups of a few thousand yogic flyers in India now being supported just by the interest on this fund. It has to reach, again, we need critical mass, it has to reach $1 billion before 40,000 of these yogic flyers can be supported, because in this case, they will be full-time doing this. They'll be working from
be flying full-time.
That's right. Well, you know,
aren't they ever going to touch down for lunch?
Well, lunch, yes. But, you know, other jobs, no.
Okay.
They'll be working from, say, about 8 in the morning, working, you know, with their eyes closed, from 8 in the morning till about noon. They'll have their lunch. They'll have a couple of hours in the afternoon, and then they go back and they do it again. It's a full-time thing, so they need to be supported.
Uh-huh.
And this is why we've never had 8,000 permanently in one place. When we were in Washington, D.C. in the summer of 93, we lowered the crime rate by 22%. Why didn't we all stay there? Well, because it cost me personally a couple of thousand dollars to be there.
Well, you've got a real job on your hands here, because the Bay Area is has the highest cost of living in the country. So
that's right, but we're going to do it, Curtis.
All right, we'll hear about how. On the other side, I'm speaking with Valerie Jan Lois of the Transcendental Meditation. The number is 800-825-5937. Get in now, call now, and have some peace.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
John, there's something I must tell you. I want to be free.
Oh, Helen, you want to be free with the wind in your hair, life without care?
No, I want to be free of those overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
You want Freelax, the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
Oh, John, I just wish everything could be that dependable.
Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative, look for it in the bright green box. Use only as directed.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, as
you
I was know. Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephens, good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, Chuck, welcome to Nebraska. How you doing, buddy?
Welcome to Nebraska.
How you doing?
We're lost in sauce, buddy.
You guys have way too much fun, you know that.
Isn't that the truth? What can we do for you, Chuck?
Hey, I tell you what. I got a border collie, and I called you guys up about 9-10 months ago, and you gave me some advice. This dog was a one-person dog, and that was my wife. Mm. And you gave me some advice that said that
you
give him some time and work with him, and I did. And I just want to thank you guys for what you said to me, because I really worked with his dog, and now he's kind of on my side.
And that doesn't bother you so much, does it?
No, not really. No.
Excellent.
No, I actually, this phone call is just to thank you for your advice. I sure appreciate that, because it sure worked out good. It worked out great.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
We're back.
It's the Peter Werby Show with special guest host Curtis Ellis. Give Curtis a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Curtis.
Yay, and I'm here at the Fairmont Hotel high atop Knob Hill with Valerie Jan Lois. We're talking about transcendental meditation and their plan to build a critical mass of meditators and yogic flyers, which will lead to world peace, lower the crime rate, make everybody healthier and happier, and, oh, my God, it'll put a monkey wrench in the military-industrial complex. You're probably on somebody's hit list, Valerie. So you're telling me that there is one peace set, meditation center already existing in Bethesda, Maryland. Bethesda, Maryland, right down the street from the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, and another one is in Lexington, Kentucky, in association with the University of Kentucky. How does that work?
Well, in Bethesda, in both cases, actually, philanthropists came forward, saw the value of this, and came up with the money to build the peace palaces. In Lexington, the land was donated by the University of Kentucky because
really?
They were so impressed by the huge body of research that's been published on transcendental meditation that they wanted to start an institute to study it. There have been more than 600 research studies that have been done on TM. They've been published in peer-reviewed journals. And, in fact, several of them were funded by the National Institutes of Health that were mostly targeting elderly African Americans who are at much greater risk of hypertension and high blood pressure than the rest of the population. And what the studies have concluded time and time and time again is that the Transcendental Meditation Program is at least as effective as blood pressure medication, but without all the nasty side effects. In fact, only side benefits. It improves the IQ no matter what age you start.
Mm-hmm.
Lowers the blood pressure. It normalizes blood pressure, and to the point where the subjects can be weaned off of their medication. And doctors are very, excited about this. Because
so should Medicaid be paying for transcendental meditation lessons?
Yeah, in fact, Medicaid is looking at the possibility. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. But the pharmaceutical companies are going to lose out on this
Ooh,
one.
Ooh, they are not happy.
Oh, my gosh.
They are not happy.
It sounds like on one hand, the government should be encouraging this because it'll save money. They always talk about getting rid of waste, fraud, and abuse. It'll be lowering the Medicare costs. But on the other hand, the government will be against it because it's not going to be helping their buddies in the pharmaceutical industry. Real quickly, we just have a few seconds left. Your website address if people want more information.
TM.org for Transcendental Meditation. TM.org. Also PermanentPeace.org.
All right. Thank you, Valerie Jan Lois. I'm Curtis Ellis here on the IE America Radio Network. We got more coming up on some of our stations. The phone number here is 800-825-5937. Broadcasting from the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco. Be with you, so don't go away and call in now.
Listening to the Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
Well, the ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Tom Roberts. A number of senior students have been suspended for 10 days in connection with last week's alleged hazing incident that took place in a Chicago area forest preserve. In addition, Glenbrook High School principal Dr. Michael Riggle says the girls will be recommended for expulsion. As senators begin debating additional tax cuts this week, President Bush is giving them a push. The president's promoting his economic stimulus plan that would cut taxes by at least $550 billion over the next decade. The House last week approved such a package. The Senate is considering a smaller one. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, the president responded to Democratic charges that it's a tax cut for millionaires.
Oh, you'll hear the talk about how this plan, you know, only helps the rich people. That's just typical Washington, D.C. political rhetoric. That's just empty rhetoric.
American forces have detained a former director of Iraq's biological warfare program. U.S. Central Command says Rehab Taha, also known as Dr. Germ, is in custody. Steve Mort reports.
Rehab Rashid Taha is now being questioned by U.S. investigators who hope she'll be key to uncovering whether Saddam Hussein was developing banned weapons. She got the nickname Dr. Germ for her alleged work to weaponize the deadly anthrax bacteria. Taha is a British-trained microbiologist and a senior member of Saddam Hussein's Ba'ath Party, and has always denied that Baghdad was trying to develop biological weapons. Another leader of Iraq's biological warfare program, U.S.-trained Huda Salima Hadi Amash, dubbed Mrs. Anthrax, was captured a week ago. Steve Mort, Washington.
The FBI is thinking about draining a pond in Frederick, Maryland. Evidence has been found there that may be linked to the 2001 anthrax attacks. The Washington Post reports there is a new theory about how a person could have waded into the water, put anthrax spores into envelopes using an airtight chamber, and dumped contaminated equipment into the pond. More in a moment.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Just because I look like doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
Washington state political leaders are defending the need for this week's anti-terrorism drill, arguing time and money spent is necessary should the real thing occur. Governor Gary Locke says Seattle was asked by the federal government to carry out the drill.
We all jumped at this opportunity because through this top-off exercise, we're actually making ourselves exposed in a test, determine what we can all do much better.
Seattle will simulate an attack by a dirty radioactive bomb during the drill today. Another test is being conducted in Chicago, and the rest of the nation is also participating. More after this.
Free, 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 free.
Every day at Domino's, you get something free. A cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee.
Delivered hot,
fresh and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one-topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer, prices and terms may vary.
The World Health Organization says traffic accidents kill four times as many people as war. WHO officials have released reports indicating traffic accidents and suicides claimed the lives of more than 2 million people in 2000. Kentucky racing stewards have cleared winning Kentucky Derby jockey Jose Santos of any wrongdoing. He and his attorney and agent met with the officials this morning to discuss a controversial published photo. That photo appears to show Santos aboard Funny Side holding an unauthorized object in his right hand. Actor Jeffrey Jones was in court in L.A. today to try to plea bargain a charge of possessing child pornography. Steve Gonzalez reports.
Authorities say the 56-year-old star of Ferris Bueller's Day Off is charged with hiring a 14-year-old boy to pose for sexually explicit photos. After his plea bargain was continued, the actor told us,
"Well, this is the end of a long and painful episode that my lawyers tell me will be resolved shortly."
A plea bargain is expected on June 12th in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Gonzalez.
And I'm Tom Roberts, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
We'll be right back.
I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Every era is known for its protests. In the 70s, it was anti-war. In the 80s, anti-fur. And when I come back, I'll peacefully demonstrate for a 90s revolution that's still the rage. And I lock brakes.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about somesies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
As the saying goes, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Well, Anti-Lock Braking Systems, or ABS, stands firmly for stopping and against locking. ABS originated in the aircraft industry, where stopping big, fast planes on short runways is critical. Adapted for panic stopping in cars, this sophisticated system uses a computer to sense when wheels are about to lock, then automatically regulates braking action. Now, don't protest. With Anti-Lock Brakes, forget pumping. Just press firmly and let ABS do the rest. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the Peter Werby Show with special guest host Curtis Ellis. Give Curtis a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Curtis.
Hey, gang, I'm here at the Fairmont Hotel high atop Knob Hill in beautiful San Francisco. And, hey, folks, if you want a nice place to stay when you come to San Francisco, you got to come to the Fairmont. It don't get no better than this. This is the place where Tony Bennett sang, "I left my heart in San Francisco," just steps from where I'm sitting. I'm right now in the Laurel Court, an opulent bar. I'm not sure what opulent means, but it sure seems like it fits here. Or just right across the hall is the Venetian Room, which is really over the top, and that's where Tony Bennett sang his song. And then steps away in the other direction is where they founded the UN. And I don't know how they did that, but they did it right here. I guess, hey, if you're going to found the UN, you might as well do it in a nice place, right?
Well, it's lavish, but we call it home.
No. That voice, that is the voice of the first concierge in America, Tom Wolfe. And I'm not talking about the novelist. He is the head concierge here at the Fairmont Hotel. And let me tell you, let me tell you, everybody, the Fairmont does it right. Not only is it a nice place to visit and a nice place to live, if only I could live here, but this is a union establishment. All of the help here is paid a decent wage. They believe in paying people a decent wage for a decent day's work. And Tom Wolfe makes sure that his concierge put in a decent day's work, don't you?
Well, we don't have such a thing as a day. It's more a way of life.
It's a way of life. Concierge being a way of life. Now, I understand you were the first concierge in America. You brought the art of concierging to this country. How the heck? I always thought there were always concierges here. I thought George Washington had a concierge when he stopped at that inn in the Delaware River on Christmas Eve.
No, oddly enough, I started here at the Fairmont the first time around in 1973, and there were no concierge in America at all. I had worked in Europe, so I knew what a concierge was, and I knew that that was the job I would want to do if I ever had the opportunity, and suddenly opportunity knocked.
And what does a concierge do?
Well, it's easier to say what doesn't a concierge do.
Right. Well, I know when I was over at the in Rome, and somebody asked me to buy some contact lenses that they couldn't get in America. And said, pick some up at the store in Rome. So I went to the concierge desk, and I asked the guy, where can I get contact lenses? And he told me, and I said, well, could you drop the prescription off because I'm too busy to do it? And he said, yes.
Absolutely. The concierge, in all seriousness, is your one-stop shopping. You should be able to go there and just give a laundry list of all of the things you need done, including sending your son to the moon and back, or whatever else you need to have done, and have it just have the concierge just say, I'll see to it. End of story.
So the concierge is sort of your personal manservant, or woman servant, because there are female concierges, aren't there?
Well, more like a consultant rather than a servant. But,
okay. Now, and if you can't afford to stay at the Fairmont, which, by the way, has the greatest view of the city, it's the most incredible view from on top of Knob Hill. But if you can't afford to stay here, I do recommend you come in and have a drink at the bar. You know, I used to go out with an Italian countess. And she was a real countess. And her trick was to always, when you're in a city, you always go to the finest hotel in the city and have a drink at the bar, because then you can see some real architecture and you see how the other half lives. Because, you know, the Italian aristocracy, they were all, after Garibaldi, they all lost their titles and whatnot, but and their fortunes. So she didn't own the hotels anymore, but you could, even if you can't own the hotel, you still go there and have a drink at the bar, have a coffee, and, you know, it's nice. The Fairmont, like some of these hotels from the Victorian era, the halls are so wide, and I discovered they're that wide so that two women in those huge hoop skirt bustle dresses could pass each other in the hallway and not bump into each other. And that's why the halls are so wide in the Fairmont. But enough about that. So tell me, Mr. Concierge, Tom Wolfe, what is, who's more obnoxious as guests? Are it the stars and the divas, or is it some of these people that come here on incentive trips that, you know, they win a week at the Fairmont because they sold enough watered stock through Merrill Lynch that they win the free weekend? Who's been your most obnoxious guest?
Well, I think it's hard to point a finger at a specific individual or group of individuals, because after all, our challenge is to take an obnoxious guest and have them, by the time they leave, be our best friend. Yeah, it's true, absolutely. And, you know, what other people might consider ridiculous demands, we simply look on as an everyday task to be done. But if you do it in a very classy way, the message eventually gets through to this obnoxious person, and they become very nice people. I've seen that transformation happen more than once. We have to ask ourselves, too, why are they obnoxious?
Right, right.
What caused that in the first place? I'll give you one case. Jerry Lewis. There you are.
Okay.
I'm naming names after all.
Oh, my God.
Now, Jerry Lewis had a problem with getting his clothes cleaned overnight. Back in those days, they didn't have overnight cleaning service, and I managed to get a cleaner to stay open just to do his clothes. And he kind of made these very strong demands, make sure their lapels are done this way and make sure it's done this way and have them back to me by 9 a.m. tomorrow sharp. I said, no problem, sir, I'll take care of it. I was so worried about it that I took a room in the hotel, slept with the clothes after they came back, and then personally rolled the rack over and knocked on his door at 9 o'clock. He wasn't expecting me. He thought someone else would come. And the door opened instantly with a Jerry Lewis on the other side with his watch. And he looked at me and said, you... I said, yes, me, and your clothes. And he said, you know, you're crazy. But then he said, but you know what? You're good crazy. And that's the greatest compliment that was ever given to me, and I didn't think he was obnoxious at all.
Huh. Well, there you go. Obnoxious is in the eye of the beholder. You know, that kind of reminds me of the last guest who was at this microphone, you know, from Transcendental Meditation. They say if you meditate and, you know, be peaceful and you get enough people thinking peaceful things, meditative thoughts, then all the obnoxiousness in the world can go away. And
this is absolutely true. Of course, you can also go home, take a tennis racket, and start hitting the mattress with it, too.
Is that what you do?
No, I have my own special way.
I see. The Zen of the Concierge. If you have any frightening hotel stories you'd like to share, now is the time to call 800-825-5937. So what do you look for in your staff? When you hire someone, how do you vet the applicants?
Sure. Well, you know, you could speak 17 languages and you'd have a great career with Berlitz. But as far as I'm concerned, the two most important features are a heart that has to be enormous and a head that has to stay the right size. Because once you've done a favor for the mayor's office, you don't have the mayor in your pocket, but you are an instrument that has done something for him. So therefore, never think you're a VIP. You're just something that a person that has done something to make someone else happy. And if your head can stay the right size and your heart stays big because you have to have patience and generosity, you're a good concierge.
Huh. Now, that's interesting. You do, in this business, you do meet a lot of very famous people, a lot of very powerful people and important people, and that could go to your head. You start to think that you're one of them or that I'm as good as them because Jerry Lewis told me that I'm good. So therefore, I'm better than these other poor schnooks who don't get those compliments.
Well, he told me I was good crazy, which I consider a brilliant accolade. But, when you get a phone call and it says, this is the White House calling, and, you know, you're supposed to go, the White House, and they're calling me. No, you don't do that.
Now, you've spoken with a few occupants of the White House in your day, haven't you?
Well, yeah, on various occasions. I remember once one particular president, the car in his motorcade broke down, and I had to instantly supply a limousine to drive right up there and take over.
You've had a few presidents stay at the Fairmont Hotel. Have you seen any of them?
Yeah, just about every president since the hotel was built has stayed here. And, they were all very nice people. I've never had, I certainly couldn't use the word obnoxious on any president, whatever party he represented.
And even if you could, you wouldn't right now. This man, Tom Wolfe, head concierge at the Fairmont Hotel, you used to be in radio.
How did you ever realize that?
I could tell by your dulcet tones and something else. And the fact that you told me you were in radio, that's how I could tell. You do have a unionized staff here.
That is correct.
And do you find that people who have the right to bargain collectively and have a voice in their employment are better employees?
Well, that's hard to say because I only have
or happier employees.
Thank you. I only have the experience from this hotel, and everybody here is very happy. I think the proof of the pudding is simply that when people come up to me and say, "How long have you been here?" I say, "I'm kind of new. I started in 1973." And the two guys who work for me who are on my right and my left side have been there for 33 years.
Wow.
And they're happy.
That's great. That's a real testament. Now, my grandfather was in the hotel business. My grandfather was the house dick at the Copley Plaza. Do you have a house dick here at the Fairmont?
Well, we have, house dick. I presume you mean detective.
Oh, yes.
House
that's
detective,
right.
Thank you. Copley Plaza, which is also a Fairmont, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, really?
Yes, it is now. Yes, indeed. We have a security department with a chief of security, and it's all very discreet. You say the idea is not to have people in uniform or... I remember a house dick that I once knew a long time ago, and I won't say where, but he used to carry his gun in his waistband.
In his crotch.
Well, not quite. I don't know I don't know the details, but
okay.
He didn't have a holster, let's put that way.
All right. Yeah, and so he was not subtle.
No, but he was good. He was good at what he did, and he was a native San Franciscan, so he spoke with a New York accent. So.
This is a different kind of city here. This is different. So was that a Tenderloin Hotel where he was?
I actually don't remember. Just the character.
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah, the good security is invisible. You don't know that, but you feel safe and you don't know why. So you were here in 73. This is a kind of a crazy town in the 70s.
Oh, yes, yes.
And did you ever have any, crazy hippie orgies here in the Fairmont that you had to break up? Or anybody ever asked you to go get them LSD or anything like that?
No, that was more or less in the western part of the city, you know,
right,
the Haight,
right.
Golden Gate Park. You know.
They stayed away from Nob Hill?
Well, you know, we had a lot of entertainers who stayed here, and some of those people, we had Rod McEwen, for example, who just had a big birthday party.
Well, my gosh, he was just on my show a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, wonderful guy, and I think he just got honored at Carnegie Hall. I was
That's
reading
right.
That.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, he was very nice, and some people didn't get Rod McEwen because he was an intellectual guy who had a way with words, and some of his songs weren't really songs. They were like poems. I thought he was very good.
Yeah, yeah. So let's see. Now, you, as the head concierge here, you have to fill everyone's request, and you have to be nice about it, and... You find that by being nice to people, even when they're not nice to you, you sometimes turn them around.
That's very true. And it depends on the approach. You can't fight fire with fire. If somebody comes on really strong, you can't hit back like that. But on the other hand, you can't let people beat you over the head with a club either. So there's a fine line that you have to draw where you're not really seeking control of the situation. You're just trying to make the person come around to the point of view that you are.
All right. Now, we are speaking about the Zen of the Concierge with Mr. Tom Wolf, the head concierge at the Fairmont Hotel. It's been a pleasure having you. Thank you so much for joining me. We're going to continue in the land of fruit and nuts, California. I'm going to be talking to somebody about slow cuisine, slow food, not fast food, baby. 800-825-5937.
Philip Constance.
Oh, Philip, I can't take this anymore. I want to be free.
You mean you want to be free of me, the kids, and the dirty laundry?
No.
Oh.
I want to be free of overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
Darling, that means Freelax.
What's so different about Freelax?
It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
If I take Freelax tonight, I'll get relief before the kids start fighting over breakfast?
Depend on it. Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives, laxative. Use only as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You're kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
One of the most absurd oxymorons in our country is shareholder democracy. Corporate image makers claim that these autocratic corporate empires are actually flowers of democracy, governed by and for the millions of little shareholders like old Aunt Emma in Dubuque with her 100 shares of Microsoft or Walmart or Disney. Hogwash. Start with the fact that nearly 60% of Americans own no stock at all, even through a mutual fund or 401k. And most of those who do own stock have only a pittance, like old Aunt Emma's 100 shares. Indeed, 90% of all corporate stock is firmly in the hands of the wealthiest 10% of Americans. But second, the CEOs and top managers rule their corporate fiefdoms with an iron fist, not tolerating even the pretense of shareholder democracy. Take Verizon, the phone giant. It recently held its annual election to choose some members of its board of directors. Great, elections. That's democracy in action, right? Not exactly. Every shareholder does get a ballot, but no opposition candidates are allowed on it. You only get to vote for the candidates selected by the CEO. You can choose to withhold your vote from management's hand-picked nominees, but it won't much matter. For even if the insider nominees get only one vote each, they win. Verizon is unabashed by this dictatorship. Nothing in law requires that an election provide a choice of candidates, says a Verizon document, adding, or that shareholders have a right to nominate candidates. Indeed, Verizon explicitly rejects democracy, claiming that if shareholders had a choice of more than one candidate for each board seat, quote, it would be difficult to predict which individual would be elected. Well, yes, democracy is crazy like that. This is Jim Hightower saying, Verizon is not alone. No corporation allows opposition candidates on its ballot. So much for shareholder democracy.
It's the Peter Werby Show with special guest host Curtis Ellis. Give Curtis a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Curtis.
Yeah, gang, that's me, Curtis Ellis, here with you at the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco, broadcasting from high atop Knob Hill in the land of fruits and nuts. That's California. folks. And here with me right now for the next duration is Eric Tucker. He is the chef at the Millennium Restaurant. The Millennium Restaurant is down there at 580 Geary Street in the Savoy Hotel here in San Francisco. And, you know, I ate there the other morning, and on the front page of the newspaper, it was Sunday, New York Times, had a big story about how people are getting sick from living next to the industrial hog farms. Maybe you don't live next to one of these factory farms. If you don't live in North Carolina, you may not know what these are. But apparently they're all the rage now in Iowa and North Carolina and many other places. People don't just raise hogs anymore and have a couple pigs in the pig pen, you know, swimming around in the mud and doing what hogs do. No. Now they'll have tens of thousands, and I'm not exaggerating, thousands and thousands of animals in factory conditions being raised, being fed food in confined spaces so that they fatten up quickly. And these animals generate, obviously, manure. They produce manure in thousands of gallons of manure is then put out in ponds, big lagoons, lakes, an inland sea of hog manure. And people who live next to these factory farms are getting sick from the hydrogen sulfide gas that comes out. Now I've ruined everybody's lunch. I'm sorry to say that. And that's a hell of an introduction to my guest, Eric Tucker, because you see what I'm talking about here is that in America, food is considered an industrial commodity, like tires or steel reinforcing bars or anything else that comes off a production assembly line. But food is not an industrial commodity, or it doesn't have to be, and it really shouldn't be thought of that way. People in other countries don't think of food as an industrial commodity. They think of it as part of culture, and I'm talking too much. Eric Tucker does not think of food as an industrial commodity. The restaurant, Millennium, they have a mission statement. They're dedicated to the concepts of organic food production, sustainable agriculture, supporting small local farms, and composting and recycling. So I guess, Eric, that you don't get any of your food from industrial farms, factory farms.
No, we don't. I mean, not to say we don't get some of our food products from large farms. There are some larger farms that have gone organic, some farms down in Southern California, Arizona, even Del Cabo, Mexico, that would be considered fairly large farms, but they're practicing sustainable agricultural practices in both the way they treat the land in terms of they treat their product and also the way they treat their workers. You know, it goes down the whole list. It's not just... It's across the board. It's not just about exclusively about the vegetables that they grow. It's about how they do it across the board.
Yeah, well, that kind of says it all. I mean, when I say that food is not an industrial commodity, in Europe, for instance, they refer to gastronomy. Food is a culture. It's like painting or architecture or the music. As music is a product of culture, so is cuisine and gastronomy. How you eat, food is part of how you eat, and this is part of how you live. It's not just something you buy and put in your mouth.
No, it's not. For me, what food is and why I do it and why I love it, I've been doing it for a while, and I guess what got me into food as a kid is just, it's to me, it's immediate. It's the most immediate sort of a sensory, you know, pleasurable sensory pleasure you can have, you know, immediate gratification. For me, it is culture. It's what I'm about. It's the way I relate to when I look at cultures and look at what a culture is about. I look at their cuisine, and you know, that's how I relate to it.
Great. I'm speaking with Eric Tucker of Millennium Restaurant. We're talking about slow food, sustainable agriculture. If you got food stories, give me a call. Curtis Ellis here, 800-825-5937. What does food mean to you?
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H. Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lab number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show. Family Talk with Mike Riera is next on IE America Radio Network.
Public understanding of a key issue in conservation is growing, but still has a long way to go. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. What is biological diversity, or biodiversity for short? Jane Elder heads the Biodiversity Project, a nonprofit organization that has measured public awareness with two major opinion polls.
One was done in 1996, and the last one was done in 2002. The tracking data from the first poll to the second poll tells us that awareness is up from about 2 in 10 Americans to about 3 in 10.
Elder says that small bump in the polls actually represents millions of people who have gained some knowledge about biodiversity. But her organization wants to reach the 7 in 10 people who still don't understand the importance of preserving variety in natural systems.
Biodiversity is simply life on Earth and its many variations and expressions. Part of our mission is to help people see it in other contexts. If it's a scientific issue, people tend to say, oh, well, that's something that experts can deal with, and I don't have to.
Elder says conserving nature is everyone's job, and she says the choices people make every day, what we buy, how much we drive, and so on, affect the future of countless plants and animals.
We've recently published a book on ethics related to biodiversity, and one of the reasons we're doing that is to help people who work in the field wrap biodiversity in the context of daily life, personal choices, moral and ethical considerations. And that's the way I think most people relate to the environment. Is what I'm doing the right thing for me, my family, the generations that follow us?
The group's book, Ethics for a Small Planet, is designed for religious leaders, activists, and others who speak to the public about moral or environmental issues. For more information, visit the group's website at biodiversityproject.org. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey,
and
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
It's the Peter Werby Show with special guest host Curtis Ellis. Give Curtis a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Curtis.
Hey, gang. Got a few minutes left here in the show, so call in now, 800-825-5937. Coming to you today from the Fairmont Hotel. I'm in San Francisco, where people are relaxed, where people know how to live. It's sort of a, some might say, a hedonistic town. I think that's going a little far, but there is definitely a sense of enjoying nature's beauty. That is a central tenet of life in California, particularly in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is why I went out of my way to find the guest who is joining me now, and that's Eric Tucker, who is the author of the Millennium Cookbook. He is chef at the Millennium Restaurant, which is a gourmet vegan restaurant dedicated to sustainable agriculture, purveyors of food grown on small farms in a sustainable manner. And are all of your ingredients organic, or are you just trying to get them organic?
We try to get as much as possible. Depending on the season, we'll run from 70 to 100% organic. Grains, beans are organic, and it's for us, it's, and we're very seasonally based, so we just shoot for things that are seasonal and local and organic.
So you don't have when there's grapes in the salad, those grapes are not from Chile. They're not flown in from South Africa.
Nah. We wait for the fall when grapes are coming off the vines up north.
Uh-huh. Now California is the breadbasket of America. It's certainly the fruit and vegetable patch of America. Most of the fruits that you eat across this country, many of them are grown in California. So California not only gives us produce and fresh food, it also gave us, though, industrial agriculture. It really gave us agribusiness. These huge irrigated farmlands in the Central Valley feed the entire country. Yet your vision, the vision of your restaurant, is of local agriculture.
Yeah, what turned me on to the Bay Area is I came out here to do a internship at our sister restaurant, and I was just floored that they'd drive up to the farmer's market, load up their car full of produce, and go back to the restaurant, and there it was, and we'd cook with it. And developing a rapport with these small farmers, many from within an hour and a half radius of San Francisco, and, you know, really, that's what really turned me on to being out here and kind of doing this thing and, you know, wanting to do this type of cuisine and, you know, support, you know, local agriculture, organic agriculture, you know, and support sort of like a grassroots kind of movement.
And now Erica has written a cookbook, the Millennium Cookbook, but you've also contributed to other books. There is a famous author, Francis Moore LePay, who wrote Diet for a Small Planet, which really talks about the ethics of food and maybe lays at some of the fundamentals, the philosophical fundaments of the slow food movement and what is called sustainable agriculture. What did you contribute? She has a new book, and you contributed something to it?
Yeah, there's a couple recipes from our restaurant, as well as restaurants across the nation. I think it's called Hope's Edge.
Now, I have to confess, I ate at your restaurant the other morning. I had a brunch there, and it was the most incredible. I am not vegan, and I'm not even vegetarian. I do eat meat. I guess I'll go straight to hell for that. I don't know, but that's me. Hopefully, if I go straight to hell, there will be some good steaks down there. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe that's what hell will be. There will be. No, seriously. The food was incredible. It doesn't matter if you're not. A lot of people have the idea that vegetarian food is bland. Your food is anything but that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's still an old sort of misconception that you take away the animal products, you're left. What are you left with? I mean, if anything, you're left with. What you do with these animal products is you season them and you turn them into things. You know, they're just this centerpiece kind of thing on the plate. So what we've got to play with, we've got the entire vegetable kingdom. We pull our resources from cultures that have been predominantly, not exclusively at all, but their cuisine is predominantly vegetable-based, and the meat products, due to their economics and their, not in a you know, to me, meat is more of a thing of our modern 20th century abundance, where that was more scarcity. So it's more vegetable based by nature. So they develop cuisines that are heavily on that, rely on the local herbs and spices and the way of combining those things. And that's where we pull our influences from.
Uh huh. Now the Schumacher Foundation is an outfit that talks about localism and local economy. They don't have anything to do with food, but it's about local economy. And that's one of the things which I find very interesting when I think about your restaurant. And I think about, I live in New York City. We have a farmer's market there. I see that here in San Francisco, they're developing one at the Ferry Building. They have a farmer's market where you can go down and actually you buy your food directly from the farmer who raised it. How have you ever thought about how our landscape would be different and how the economy would be different if we had more local agriculture and a local agriculture-based eating pattern?
Yeah, well, I've certainly have thought about it, and that's why we're there to support that, because we want to see these small farms thrive, survive, and if not, multiply. And it's not just us. We're one of many restaurants in the Bay Area. Many restaurants across the country. It's not just here in San Francisco at all. that want to see this sort of grassroots movement kind of grow and keep the small farmer in business, keep that land fertile and being utilized for vegetable products instead of being turned into the little, you know, condominium subdivision.
Have you had that effect? Can you see that effect here in California? Are there farms that? Because I mean, everywhere. There are a lot of farms being put into development, into townhouses or condominiums. Have you seen an effect where there are farmers that are staying in business that otherwise might have sold out?
Oh, unquestionably so, especially up in the Sonoma County area where land is becoming quite a premium, where there are small farms that you know, if they were not marginally successful, they would have sold out to somebody else who probably would have sold it to real estate. Yeah, I buy peppers and chilies and produce from a farm called Tierra Vegetables up in Hillsburg. We've gone up to their farm. We do a chili dinner in September when chilies are like, and peppers are just full on, and these guys are the kings of chilies. We went up to the field. They've got 2 acres sandwiched between a housing division. 2 acres. You go out there, there's a fence, and there's houses. They have a couple more acres, again, that's in between various housing projects. They sold out. That's just more housing products, and they are like the only resource for. There's a couple types of chilies that they're some of the only guys in the country that grow. So to me, it's imperative that these guys continue to do it, and they just do a fantastic job of it. And I do my best to support those guys because they're great at what they do.
Well, that's great. I'm speaking with Jeff Tucker, Eric Tucker, the chef. That's why I called you Jeff. You're the chef. Eric the chef at Millennium Restaurant, an organic, sustainable cuisine restaurant at the Savoy Hotel in San Francisco. We're talking about the slow food movement, food as an expression of culture, food as gastronomy, an important part of culture, not an industrial commodity. If there's something you'd like to say about food, what food means to you, or if you have a question or a comment, please call 800-825-5937. We'll put you right on the air. And I can't give you any food because it doesn't fit through a phone line. But do you guys do delivery?
You know, surprising enough, we do. We ship desserts to Winter Creek, Florida, Winter Park, Florida, all the time for someone out there who wants our desserts.
You're kidding.
No. Yes, the wonders of dry ice and UPS.
Amazing. You can get some of Jeff's recipes in the Millennium Cookbook published by 10 Speed Press. So how did you get into food? How did you pursue this as a career instead of, say, investment banking?
Well, I think I was almost kind of stuck into it. I was cooking from like a – there's photos of me at age 4 or 5 on a step stool cooking like scrambled eggs. My parents are foodies. Not necessarily they cook a lot, but they'd drag me into Chinatown in New York, and we'd like go to Chinese restaurants with like some of our relatives, and I'd get turned on going to the Chinese markets. And I grew up in suburban New Jersey. Right down the street were farm fields, and my first job was like picking corn and doing that kind of stuff. And I just kind of really enjoyed cooking. I enjoyed, again, the crazy immediate sensations. You know, just like how that related to me and just the immediate enjoyment of it. We used to have a garden in our backyard. Used to love doing that stuff. And it just kept on going. I worked in restaurants, and every time I think I'd get out of it and go into something else, I kept getting drawn back into it. So at a certain point, I said, okay, looks like I'm going to be a chef. I don't have much of a choice.
You're going to stop fighting it. Just,
yeah, just do it.
Just do it. I was over in Italy recently, and there the Italians, all they talk about is food. I mean, that is the number one topic of discussion. They'll criticize each other's recipes. They'll look at the mozzarella cheese. They'll turn it over. They'll taste it 5 different ways. That's all they think about.
That's fantastic to hear that stuff. I guess I'm a little skewed because most of my friends are either chefs or in the industry, so we talk about food all the time. But especially in the Bay Area, there's more of it. There's a consciousness about cuisine, about food, about the product, and so there is that. It's happening out here in the Bay Area. It's happening across the country, but it's definitely in the Bay Area, and I like to see it happen more in the Midwest or places where, you know, people still consider food, you just shove it down your throat and move on to the next thing, but go about your business. You know, slow down, kind of enjoy it, take your time with it, and figure out what it's about and how it relates to you.
Yeah, the phone number here is 800-825-5937. My name is Curtis Ellis. I'm talking with Eric Tucker from the Millennium Restaurant in San Francisco at the Savoy Hotel in San Francisco. We're broadcasting from the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco. And I figured, hey, in a land where all of the vegetables and fruits are grown, in a city where people spend more time eating than they spend doing just about anything else, I just had to have somebody on to talk about the politics of food. It's something that's interested me. I met somebody from the European Commission. Now, in Europe, you know, they've got all these different handmade cheeses and this and that, handmade prosciutto. You can get the Italians arguing with the Spanish over who makes the best ham, and it'll almost turn into a war. Thank God those people don't spend a lot of money on their military budgets. Otherwise, they probably would have a war over their hams. But now with the European Commission, they're trying to standardize the food, like we have here the FDA that lays out regulations of how you can make cheese, how you can make food if you want to market it across the country. And she was very concerned that with the standardization of the regulations concerning cheese manufacture, they're destroying very many local cheeses, which are no longer available. She said every year cheeses are being lost, and this is a crime against culture.
I would concur with that. I mean, cheese, you know, like, especially what we're talking about, you know, it's an artisanal, handmade product. I mean, and especially in Europe, you're dealing with families that have been doing this for generations and can keep on doing it. If you get it regulated where they can't do their product, can't make their product because they can't sell it because it doesn't meet someone sitting in an office's idea of what might be, you know, either, you know, feasible on an economic level, on a sanitary level, you know, pasteurize your milk, you know, can't have raw milk cheeses, mm-hmm. you're going to lose that product. And that's a crime. That's a shame, to say the least.
Yeah, she wanted to set up a world court of cheese so people could defend their right to their cheese culture before a court. Now, what is your feeling about genetically modified food?
Really, we don't support it. The restaurant, we are GMO-free. I've done some work with, like, Greenpeace about that, just about disseminating information about that and feeling, you know, they're, everyone has their own opinion. On my opinion, it's more about, again, back to big business kind of controlling the whole food economy, the whole food system. And I don't feel that it's necessary. It standardizes, doesn't diversify the product out there, and it's just going to set yourself up for more problems than it's worth.
Well, that's an interesting point, standardization versus diversification. You have probably developed a pretty good eye and a nose for the different strains of whether it's chilies or tomatoes or lettuces. How does that work?
Well, yeah, I mean, again, being that I'm out here in the Bay Area, we got small farms growing 365 days a year and supporting heirloom products. And, you know, it's sort of the slow foods movement is about protecting and saving these heirloom vegetables, heirloom seed stock of things that don't yield X amount of bushels per acre because they're, you know, not the most efficient crop, but they taste fantastic, are unique, are different. And we need to keep that diversity in our system. You know, we need that stuff. I mean, I don't want some tomato that I can throw off a third-story building, have it bounce back up to me, and just because it's you could ship it, you know, across country a couple times and back. No, I want a tomato that's picked a couple miles away that is, like, from some heirloom seed stock, and there's nothing else like it on the planet, and it's unique and very different from the next tomato. So, yeah, I want that stuff.
That really gets to the heart of the matter. I mean, tomatoes are bred so that they can be bounced off of cement and shipped 1,000 miles or 3,000 miles. Now, what is the purpose of that? Why is that a more efficient use of resources to breed tomatoes that can be shipped 3,000 miles? Why is that more efficient than keeping land in tomato production within a 50-mile radius?
I think it's our economy, the way we've set things up, the way we've set up our food systems, our sort of fast food systems, where people in Calgary, whatever, in the middle of winter in Wyoming expect a tomato on their hamburger at the local corporate fast food place.
Yeah, you know? And that's we're getting right to the nub of the matter here is what does one consider valuable and what does one consider efficient and proper? And the idea of having and now they're getting to the point of genetically modifying organisms so that you can ship a tomato 3,000 miles. So that way, in the intervening 3,000 miles, you can have all of the land paved over.
Exactly. And, you could, you know, who knows? Maybe down the road they're going to genetically modify a tomato so it has, like, you know, pig DNA in it, so it's like having a BLT in a tomato. You never know.
There you go. A pig BLT in a tomato. If you're against that, call 800-825-5937. If you don't want to see people growing BLTs, call now on the IE America Radio Network. I'm here with Eric Tucker of the Millennium Restaurant. We've got a few more minutes to talk about the politics of food. I'm Curtis Ellis.
So the sun is a-shining, the birds are a-chirping, and the garden is a-calling. One small problem, you're back.
Ow!
It's a-hurting. Can't bend down to dig.
Ooh!
Can't stand up to water.
Ouch!
Just can't bear the pain. Better grab a ThermaCare. 8 hours of penetrating heat for powerful pain relief and deep muscle relaxation.
Ah!
So you can bend, dig, plant, water, and water all you want. No problem. Pick up a ThermaCare and wrap yourself in relief.
Max, I can't go on anymore. I want to be free.
You want to be free of Hollywood, the glamour, the fame?
No, I want to be free of overnight liquid laxatives that taste like I'm drinking chalk.
Well, it's easy, baby. Take Freelax. It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just 2 caplets.
Ooh, are you sure I'll be free of constipation before my early morning flight to the coast?
Depend on it. Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative.
Oh, Max.
Use only as directed.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Are you tired of being yelled at, preached at, lectured to, demagogued, ridiculed, moralized, proselytized, and abused? Why don't you try something new? Join me, Nancy Skinner, on IE America Radio Network, where we can discuss the issues of the day from a whole new and healthier perspective. Nobody gets fed to the lions. Everybody has a right to their opinions. And the best thing is you walk away feeling better about life.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop. Weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Peter Werby reminding you that my show is now being broadcast from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. It's the same show filled with engaged, intelligent talk featuring not just you, the listener, but also a wide range of interesting guests. So if you want to leave right-wing hate radio in the 20th century where it belongs, join me, Peter Werby, weekdays 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for something entirely different.
It's the Peter Werby Show with special guest host Curtis Ellis. Give Curtis a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Curtis.
Hey, gang. I'm broadcasting today from the Fairmont Hotel high atop Nob Hill in beautiful San Francisco. If you got something you want to talk about, we just got a few minutes left here. 800-825-5937. I'm here with Eric Tucker. While there are, and he's from the Millennium Restaurant at the Savoy Hotel, while there is a faction afoot trying to make genetically modified tomatoes which have built-in bacon and can grow in toxic waste so they can be shipped 3,000 miles over a country that is paved from coast to coast, there are still some people who want to see locally grown agricultural products made in a sustainable fashion that even taste good. And now we've been talking about politics of food, Eric. Why don't you just tell me about some of the food you actually make, because it really does taste good.
All right. Well, you know, at a restaurant, like Curtis just said, we are a high-end kind of vegan restaurant, so we have no animal products whatsoever. So we're based, you know, kind of stuck with vegetable matter.
Stuck with vegetable matter.
Really terrible thing. We got all sorts of stuff. So we got this really extensive menu, you know, just kind of listing down some of the things we got. We'll do a risotto, but, you know, I don't have some heavy cream to dump into it or butter, so I use things like a nut cream, like cashews. I got this really wonderful caramelized fennel leek and endive risotto with a little bit of sea vegetable in there. You know, all of these products are local, except for the farro comes from Italy, which is sort of like a wheat berry. Another dish, we got an Asian udon cake, which is sort of like a dissected Thai curry, except we kind of take the parts, dissect them, and put them back together, make it all kind of fancy schmancy, and use a lot of different local and seasonal vegetables for that, as well as exotic and wild mushrooms.
No, that sounds beautiful. Now, you've got a cookbook out, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Millennium Cookbook.
You got it.
Available, published by 10 Speed Press. It's available everywhere. You learn that vegetarian food is not boring, not bland. I ate at his restaurant the other day. This was the most decadent brunch I ever had in my life. French toast with hazelnuts and, oh, it was unbelievable. Vegetable frittatas made with no eggs. Now, you have a website, too. Tell me about that.
It's millenniumrestaurant.com.
That's two L's, two N's. Millennium with two L's, two N's. Millenniumrestaurant.com.
Yeah. Right, we're right in the midst of updating it. It kind of tells you everything we do at the restaurant, has menus, and has a recipe on there.
Great. Very good. Eric, thanks for joining me here at the Fairmont today, our live broadcast from San Francisco. My name is Curtis Ellis, sitting in for Peter Werby. Peter will be back tomorrow. Peter is on his way to Santa Fe, another great city, another great place to get some great food. And you're going to be getting some great talk from there tomorrow when Peter Werby does his broadcast live from Santa Fe. We've got a great affiliate in that beautiful city. And it's been a real pleasure being here, talking about the politics of food, the politics of culture, the culture of politics. So until next time, y'all hang in there, be well, and keep hope alive. We can have a better world if we just try hard enough.
You've been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
Hello, Show. This is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and